Since Breonna Taylor's death in March, protests worldwide have prompted both a Louisville ban on no-knock search warrants and an FBI investigation into the incident. But the lack of clarity in the case and minimal action against the officers responsible for her death are still making waves on social media and through weekly demonstrations. For more, we're joined on the KCBS Ring Central Newsline by Suzanne Luban and Ron Tyler, professors of law at Stanford University. Thank you for joining us.
Thanks for having us.
Great to be here.
What does the investigation look like so far, and what was the legality of the officers' actions that night?
Well, one thing we have to say about what the investigation looks like so far is that we and others are hamstrung in our ability to tell you about that because there has not been the necessary transparency in that. The Louisville officials have only chosen to release those things which were helpful for themselves but not for the public at large. That's the first thing to say about that.
And may I just add that if the federal investigators are doing their job, that should lead to a federal criminal charge of a civil rights violation, which would be the willful deprivation of rights by police officers for willfully depriving Breonna Taylor of her constitutional right to be free from unreasonable use of deadly force.
So several... Go on.
What we would see on the state side, the charge that seems most applicable to the officers who fired the shots would be wanton endangerment, which means that an officer exhibited extreme indifference to the value of human life by blindly firing 10 shots into occupied apartments through a covered patio door and a window that were both obscured from the officer's vision. That's, in fact, exactly what the police chief wrote in his termination letter for Detective Hankinson.
So that one detective was fired. Have any charges been filed against him? And what about the other officers?
No charges against any officers yet.
Okay.
Right. And the Public Integrity Unit, which is the Internal Affairs Investigative Unit of the police department, submitted a report, but it's not encouraging. There's basically no details in the report at all, except a falsehood, which states that there was no forced entry and indicates that there were no injuries to Ms. Taylor.
So what defenses are available to police officers, which many have suggested mean no charges should be filed? What's that side?
Well, so we disagree with folks who have stated their opinions that the officers should not be charged criminally just because they may have had a legal right to defend themselves. Officers, and actually anyone, has the right to fire in self-defense if they reasonably believe that they are being subjected to or someone else being subjected to a risk of death or injury. But in this situation, if the officers created the situation and they did so recklessly by not announcing that they were police, by creating the impression that it was somebody frightening breaking into a home at midnight, then if that situation prompted Mr. Walker's firing in his own self-defense, then I would say the officers shouldn't be entitled to that self-defense. But it's not appropriate for prosecutors to decide ahead of time, just because there might be a defense offered by police, to just fail to file any charges whatsoever. It remains to be seen whether the evidence would support that defense.
And what does all of this, what does this case mean for police reform, which the mayor has expressed a need for?
Well, we're really pleased to see the mayor expressing that need. Again, we have to recognize that those reforms really only came about after nationwide protests. Ms. Taylor was killed back in March, and it was only after the protests had begun on George Floyd and then finally regarding herself that we started to see some of these reforms. The requirement of body cameras when search warrants are being executed, that should actually be not just when search warrants are executed, but all police interactions with citizenry. The ban on no-knock warrants, well, sure, that's a common-sense ban that should happen. A civilian review board, true, meaningful oversight of police departments. It's an idea for Louisville. Let's see whether it really gets fully implemented. But even there, these are reforms that are reactive to this particular case. We'd like to see broader reforms, including restricting the use of potentially lethal methods on peaceful crowds. That's another thing we saw, you know, nationwide and in Louisville. The fact that, unfortunately, Mr. McAtee, the business owner, was killed after police used chemical weapons, used these pepper balls, firing indiscriminately into people who were peacefully sitting outside of that restaurant. So that's another important reform, changing the use of these potentially lethal weapons.
Thank you both for joining us, Suzanne Luban and Ron Tyler, both professors of law at Stanford University.